Okay, we are recording this call now. Again, it's John Boniface with Free Speech for People. Thank you all for joining us. We expect Bobby Kennedy Jr. to join us very soon as well. We are here in Wilmington, Delaware, and I want to identify who's participating today on this telepress conference. We have, in addition to Bobby Kennedy Jr., who's joining us by phone in the room here in Wilmington, we have Willa Coffey Mays, who's the Executive Director of Appalachian Voices, partner in this campaign to decharter Massey Energy. Jeff Clements, the co-founder and general counsel of Free Speech for People. We also have as speakers Lorella Scarborough, who is an outspoken activist and leader in West Virginia fighting mountaintop coal removal, and Betty Hara, whose brother Steve Hara was one of the 29 miners killed in the Upper Big Branch mine disaster in April of last year. Who just joined us?
Hi, this is Robert Kennedy.
Yes, Robert Kennedy Jr., thanks so much for joining us. We're just getting started, and what I'd like to do, it's John Boniface again, I just lay out what we're going to be discussing today, and then turn it over to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. To start the discussion. Free Speech for People, Appalachian Voices, and the Rainforest Action Network have initiated this campaign calling upon Attorney General Beau Biden to decharter Massey Energy, which is chartered in Delaware, to revoke the corporate charter of that company. We launched this campaign in early June of this year following a report that was issued from West Virginia, commissioned by then-Governor Joe Manchin, that identified a series of violations over years that the Massey Energy Corporation has committed 63,000 plus violations, as well as the culpability that it had with the Upper Big Branch mine disaster, identifying a corporate culture of illegality that this company has been engaged in. And it's our position that when a company abuses its charter, that the Attorney General has the responsibility in the state where it's chartered to revoke that charter. These are privileges, as we know, that corporations receive from the state through the corporate charter process. And when they abuse that charter, when they cross the line, when they flagrantly violate federal and state law, as Massey Energy has done, then their charter should be revoked. So today we're going to be delivering to Attorney General Biden's office 35,000 plus signatures from people across the country joining this call to revoke Massey Energy's charter. And we will also be engaged in a public kickoff tonight in Wilmington, Delaware, showing the Last Mountain movie, a powerful documentary about what Massey Energy is doing to the people and environment of Appalachia. And we will then have a public forum following that discussion about this decharter campaign. With that, I'd like to turn it over to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to lead us in this discussion.
I'm Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I'm an attorney for the senior attorney for the Natural Resources Defense Council, which is one of the largest environmental groups in the United States. I'm also the president of the Waterkeeper Alliance, which is the largest water protection group, grassroots water protection group in the country, and we're very active in Appalachian issues. And we have keepers in Appalachia who are currently engaged in litigation against various members of the coal industry. There is a long history of case law in this country that upholds the statutory rights of states, including the state of Delaware, to revoke corporate charters when the corporation has abused its powers contrary to the public policy of the state. New York State, where I live, a few years ago when Dennis Vacco was Attorney General, revoked the charter of the Tobacco Institute and a number of other groups that were not violating the law, but they were lying to the American public and lying to the people of New York State about the dangers of tobacco. There have been similar cases brought in Pennsylvania and Michigan and California and many other states around the country and the state of Washington that, again, have upheld the rights of states to to revoke the corporate charter. In this case, I can't think of a company that has that more deserves the corporate death penalty. This is a Massey Coal, as I've said many times before, is a criminal enterprise. Its particular brand of mountaintop removal mining and its is particular concern to me. Now, we're going to talk some more about the safety violations. Massey has violated not just the environmental laws, but because of its unfair treatment of workers, its frequent OSHA violations, its usurpation of political power, human rights violations, violations of various labor laws, environmental laws, including the Clean Water Act, the Clean Air Act, the Safe Drinking Water Act, and RCRA. A year ago, I debated the CEO of Massey Coal, Don Blankenship, on a televised debate in front of a live audience in West Virginia, and it was a 90-minute debate. And during that debate, we discussed the admitted violations that Massey had just of the Clean Water Act between 2006 and 2010. Massey, by its own admissions, violated the Clean Water Act 63,000 times. The EPA in 2010 finally stepped in because the state agencies have been completely captured by Massey, the state agencies that are supposed to protect West Virginians and Americans from Massey's pollution have been co-opted and captured by the agency, by the industry that they're supposed to regulate. So the federal EPA had to step in, and they levied on Massey a $20 million fine, which was less than 1% of the liability that Massey was facing. Over the next 12 months, Massey violated the Clean Water Act an additional 8,500 times. This is in addition to tens of thousands of violations of other labor laws and environmental laws and health and safety laws. I asked Don Blankenship about this record, this horrendous record, and I said to him, I asked him, I was allowed to ask him a question, and I said to him, is it possible for your company to make a profit and to function in the marketplace without violating the law? And he said at that time, no, it isn't. These are a lot of silly laws. So he was acknowledging that Massey is a criminal enterprise. It cannot make a profit. It cannot function without violating the law. And Massey's business plan, because it has to violate the law in order to compete in the marketplace, is to disable the state and, in some cases, the federal environmental agencies and government officials to make sure that the law is not enforced against them and give it a competitive edge in the marketplace by passing the cost of its legal violations onto the American public. And Massey has led the drive to break the unions in the state. They have led the drive for mountaintop removal. They're the biggest practitioners of mountaintop removal in the country. It's a form of mountaintop coal mining that has destroyed over the past decade, has cut down 500 of the largest mountains in West Virginia. They have flattened an area of the Appalachian larger than the state of Delaware, 1.4 million acres. And they have illegally filled, according to EPA, 2,200 miles of rivers and streams and then illegally poisoned thousands of additional miles of rivers and streams. So this is a company that cannot function without, number one, violating the law, and number two, subverting democracy. And Massey's efforts to subvert the democracy in West Virginia are legend. The personal contributions of millions of dollars by Don Blankenship to elect friendly judges in the state is something that is against the public interest. It's not within the public interest to have a judiciary that has been subverted or corrupted by a single company. And in fact, last year, the Supreme Court of the United States, which is probably the most corporate-friendly Supreme Court that we've had in this nation, at least since the Gilded Age, rebuked the West Virginia Supreme Court for its ties to the coal industry and to Massey in particular. So this is a company that at every level of its functioning, at every aspect, in every aspect of its culture, is offensive to the public interest. And we are strongly urging Attorney General Biden to be an attorney general, to be one of the few public officials left in this country who is willing to stand up to corporate power and say, at some point, corporations do not have the power to dismantle our democracy and to violate our laws willfully and systematically. And I don't think you can make an argument that Massey Coal is not willfully and systematically breaking the laws of our country, and they admit it themselves, or that they're not subverting American democracy on a variety of fronts.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Can I interrupt? I'm kind of on a deadline here. I just wanted to ask Mr. Kennedy a question here. Massey, Alpha Natural Resources acquired Massey, and that was completed June 1, and they basically folded it into Alpha as a subsidiary.
Yes.
It's now called Alpha Appalachia Holdings, so Massey as a corporate entity doesn't even exist anymore.
Well,
so
let me do this, sir. Can I have your identity just to get it for the record?
Yeah, Steve Hooks. I'm with Platts Coal Outlook.
Great.
Platts is part of the McGraw-Hill companies.
All right. Thank you for joining us. Let me turn it over to Jeff Clements, who's the speaker as well today on the press call. He's our general counsel at Free Speech for People. He's the author of the letter to Attorney General Biden, and he was prepared to answer that very question, so I'll turn it to him.
Okay. Thank you, John, and thank you for the question. You're quite right. 2 weeks after the investigation report from West Virginia confirmed that the 29 coal miners died in the Upper Big Branch because of Massey's culture of illegality and violations of law, the shareholders of Massey voted to merge with Alpha Natural Resources, and Alpha's shareholders approved that merger as well on June 1. The Massey corporate charter continues to exist, and it is now owned, as you pointed out, as a wholly owned subsidiary of Alpha Natural Resources. That changes nothing about the public accountability that's required under Delaware law. The corporate charter continues to exist. We expect, and I expect Attorney General Biden expects, Alpha Natural Resources to cooperate with any investigation into the revocation of the Massey charter. And the shareholder and executive decision to merge and make profit from Massey's conduct cannot, under the law or any other, you know, conception of decency, quite frankly, cannot leave the people of West Virginia, the families of the coal miners, and the people of America without the right, as we have under our laws and Delaware's laws, to use the corporate charter revocation proceeding for accountability when we have systematic violations of law, as we do with Massey. So the merger has gone forward. Massey corporate entity continues to exist. Alpha itself is a Delaware corporate chartered company, and we expect and look forward to the full investigation so that we have the accountability that the corporate charter revocation laws expect and assume.
And do you want to add further comments before I turn over to Willa?
Sure. I am general counsel and co-founder of Free Speech for People, which is a national nonpartisan campaign to combat unconstitutional corporate rights creations, the most egregious of which was the Supreme Court's decision in the Citizens United case to say corporations are the same as people and have what the court called free speech rights to spend corporate money to dominate elections. We are building a national constitutional amendment campaign to overturn that decision, because if we don't, what the folks in West Virginia and Appalachia are facing with Massey will be the fate of America, the co-option and corruption of our government that is supposed to be for the people by corporate power. We're very pleased to join with Reinforced Action Network and Appalachian Voices and the families of West Virginia folks who are here today to ask Attorney General Biden to revoke and to initiate an investigation and proceeding to revoke Massey's charter, to bring Alpha to the table to talk about what they are going to do to change these practices so we don't have this culture and pattern of illegality. And we will deliver later today 35,000 signed petitions to Attorney General Biden from people all over the country demanding that kind of accountability. And I would point out, as Mr. Kennedy said, these corporate charter revocation laws exist in every state in the country, and if they reflect the traditional American distrust of concentrated power and government preferences and privileges so that they don't get abused, so that we have accountability and preserve freedom and self-government of people. And in Delaware, it's actually in the Constitution of the state that the legislature is required to have a charter revocation law. The people of Delaware did not even trust to leave it to the legislature to enact these kind of laws. It's in the Constitution itself. The legislature must have a corporate revocation law, charter revocation law, for just this reason. So we look forward to these laws being enforced. The era of non-enforcement of laws, when corporations get just too big to follow the law, must come to an end if we're going to preserve American self-government and democracy.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Our next speaker is Willa Coffey Mays, Executive Director of Appalachian Voices, a leading voice in this country about what is happening to the people and the environment of Appalachia with respect to mountaintop coal removal, the coal mining industry, and Massey's behavior in particular. Willa.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. We are a membership organization, and we are committed to protecting the land, the air, the water, and the communities of Appalachia. And Massey Energy has a history of longstanding and widespread violation of the law in Appalachia. They've intimidated workers, ignored environmental protection laws, and illegally polluted groundwater, resulting in sickness and even death. Massey Energy has flagrantly disregarded the health of the people, streams, mountains of Appalachia. Bad actors like Massey Energy should not be afforded the privilege of doing business. I'm really happy today to be here in the presence of two great Appalachian women, Lorella Scarborough and Betty Hera, and they live in the communities that are most impacted by the bad actions of Massey Energy and other companies in Appalachia that do not abide by the laws. They live in the community where the Upper Big Branch mine disaster occurred in April of 2010. And when you hear their comments, you're going to take note, because they're living on the front lines of the abuses of a company like Massey Energy. So I'm really pleased to be here with them today. I'm proud to be with my fellow Appalachian women, and these are strong women. But we need help on this issue, and we're reaching out to the American people to say, you can't let this continue to occur. We need your help, and we also need the help of Attorney General Biden. We're trusting in you to make a difference, to reach out, to at least look into this issue, and to look into it carefully. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Willa. Our next speaker is Lorella Scarborough from West Virginia, a leading voice on this question as well.
Hi, my name is Lorella Scarborough, and I live in Rock Creek, West Virginia, which is in the southern coalfields of West Virginia. I live just a few miles from where the Upper Big Branch disaster happened. My stepson worked at Upper Big Branch. My nephew worked at Upper Big Branch, and I feel very fortunate that they were home that day. We traveled to Delaware in order to ask the Attorney General to live up to his responsibility of revoking the charter for Massey Energy. If you look at the history of this particular corporation, as Bobby Kennedy Jr. said, they work outside the law. They operate outside the law. I don't believe for one minute that Massey Energy cannot make a profit and work inside the law. I think they make a conscious choice not to, and the people of Appalachia are considered collateral damage, and it's okay. I think Don Blankenship and Massey Energy believe that it's okay just to wipe out a whole culture. What happens in the coal fields directly impacts my life. I live in an area where my property borders Coal River Mountain, and Coal River Mountain is a mountain that is slated for destruction, another one of those 500 mountains that Bobby Kennedy Jr. spoke about. And the industry wants to level 6,600 acres right behind my house. And so I, like thousands of people throughout Appalachia, have been thrust into this movement, not because I want to be here today or not because this is what I would like to be doing, I would rather be home, but because the coal mine moved in next door, and the coal mine that moved in next door has a long history of operating outside the law. And I think that the Attorney General has a responsibility to make sure that that corporation does not exist any longer and that they can no longer treat the people of Appalachia as though it's okay to erase them. I know and love people who have died as a result of Massey Energy operating outside the law. I know walking casualties today who raise their families on poison water because of underground injection of toxic sludge. And we have had all that we can stand, and we need to know that the Attorney General in Delaware believes and understands the atrocities that are actually playing out on the ground in the coal fields of West Virginia as a result of an outlaw corporation.
Thank you, Lorella. Our last speaker is Betty Hara, who, as I said, her brother, Steve Hara, was one of the 29 coal miners who died in the Upper Big Branch mine disaster, a disaster caused by the reckless and illegal behavior of Massey Energy. Betty, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. The whole bottom line, when industry starts taking lives, it's no different than murder. I mean, what could have been, there was many things that could have been done that the 29 guys would still be here. It wasn't only 29 guys that died that day, it was 31. Because the two that made it out, their lives are gone. Only 31, it killed 31 families. Our families will never be the same again because they would rather push the law, pay the fines, and keep producing the way they were. We've got to do something about this. I mean, we can't keep seeing guys die, or ladies die, because they're wanting to support their families. And when big industry starts saying what the laws are going to be to benefit them, it's time to stop. I don't want to see another family go through not getting their phone call every evening, or the little boy looks up at you and says, my daddy will bring his truck. And he looks at you and he says, oh, I'll have to get somebody to bring my daddy's truck to help you. We've got to stop this. I mean, there is, mine has been in West Virginia for years. I'm not against mining by no means. What I'm against is the responsibility mining that Massey was doing. Responsible mining there is. With modern technology and stuff the way it is now, they can make profits. But they have to be one and able to spend the money to make it safe for these guys. I mean, when you start devaluing life and say, hey, we'll give you this amount of money because your brother died, that doesn't bring my brother back. And that's just blood money. So we need to get the Attorney General to pull this charter, because I don't want to see somebody else go through what I've went through or anybody else has. And this is the opportunity to do it. because let me tell you, I was not into all this stuff, and with the different groups that's here today, but we're all for the same reason. We're tired of seeing people get killed for no reason at all, because we somebody wants to go on a Hawaiian cruise or whatever. It's time to stop it.
Thank you. Thank you, Betty. Thank you very much. At this time, we're prepared to take questions. If you could please identify yourself when asking your question, we're opening it up.
Hey, John. Steve Hooks at Platts again. Sorry for sounding like a broken record. Just two questions. One, how do you spell your last name? And my second question is, when do you expect to deliver this to Bo Biden's office? And you've been working on this since June. Have you had any response at all from the Attorney General's office about your petition?
So my name is spelled Bonifaz, B-O-N-I-F-A-Z, first name John, J-O-H-N.
F-A-Z? I'm sorry, it's Z as in zebra?
Yes, B-O-N-I-F-A-Z as in zebra.
Okay.
We are meeting with the Attorney General's office today in the afternoon, and we will be delivering our petition signatures thus far, 35,000 plus people around the country joining this call. We have not had a response since we issued our letter, but the meeting has been scheduled, and we're prepared to lay out further why the Attorney General should initiate this proceeding to decharter Massey Energy.
And the letter was delivered in June?
That's correct. June 8th of this year.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Yeah, this is Sarah Van Gelder with Yes Magazine.
Yes.
Do you have any other recourse if the Attorney General doesn't act? Do you have any other way to get to challenge the charter?
I'll turn that to Jeff Clement.
This is Bobby Kennedy. I can say this: the charter can be challenged in any state, or the right to do business for Massey can be challenged in any state where Massey does business. So we have other options, but I think the best option is if Bo Biden acts in the state of Delaware. And one of the reasons for that is that Delaware has a particularly close connection to Massey. 64% of Delaware's energy comes from coal, and a lot of that is Appalachian coal that is from mountaintop removal operations like Massey's. As Massey has most of the mountaintop, controls most of the mountaintop removal operations in Appalachia. But also, Delaware sets the standard for the rest of the country, because so many of our nation's corporations are incorporated or chartered in the state of Delaware. It's really important for you at this time in history, with the Citizens United case and with what we see as really a move towards greater and greater corporate power, to the diminishment of the vigor of our democracy. It's really important for Delaware and its leadership to be a template for corporate responsibility, and say, here's where you're incorporated, and we welcome corporations to this state to incorporate, but there's a limit to what you can do. Even here in Delaware, there's a limit to what you can do that is against the public interest that we will tolerate as a state. So this is really a measure of the soul of our country and the soul of Delaware, and this is a battle over where our political figures are going to come down, and particularly Democratic, people in the Democratic Party. It's ultimately a moral issue for our country. What role do corporations play in American life? I own a number of corporations, and corporations are a critical part of our economy. They drive our economy. They are they're the engines that drive our economy. They encourage people to assemble wealth and to risk it, and they create jobs, and that ultimately is what we want. But they have to be, that process has to be harnessed to a social purpose. Otherwise, its natural devolution will bring us to a form of corporate feudalism that our European ancestors fled, and concentrations of power and wealth that our European ancestors fled Europe to the United States to escape. And, you know, there's a question now in the trajectory that our country is taking is, you know, how do you put the bit into the mouth of corporate power? We had a time in our country in the 1880s and 1890s when corporations literally destroyed American democracy. And there was, you know, it was said at that time we had direct election. You still didn't have direct election of senators. So by controlling state legislatures, the corporations could easily control the United States Senate. And they could easily dominate the state political landscapes. It was said about the Pennsylvania state legislature that John D. Rockefeller had done everything to it but refine it. And this was true across the country. And then you had a series of reformers led by Teddy Roosevelt and journalists like Sinclair Lewis and Upton Sinclair and Ida Tarbell who came along and said, we are going to tell the American people about this and we're going to stand up to the corporations. And they passed the Sherman Antitrust Act to stop, you know, to put some controls on this devolution towards a monopoly and concentrations of wealth. They passed the first graduated income taxes. They passed the 17th Amendment, which created direct election of senators, which Rick Perry now says he wants to revoke that amendment. And so, and the Tea Party's position is that that amendment should be revoked, and that we should go back to legislatures appointing senators. And they passed in 1907 probably the most important rule, a rule that forbade corporations from donating money to the federal political candidates. And that rule stood for 100 years, and then 2 years ago, the Supreme Court threw out a century of American jurisprudence and unleashed this huge wave of corporate money into the American political process. And it's already changed the face of America's political process. And the Sherman Antitrust Act has been absolutely gutted since the Reagan administration, and many of these other reforms that we put in place in order to restore democracy in our country during the Gilded Age have disappeared. And we're watching the same economic indicia, the huge chasms in the concentrations of wealth in our country that we have not seen since the Gilded Age. So, and the attack on union organizing, which was another reform of the Gilded Age, you know, of the progressive movement, which brought an end to the Gilded Age and restored American democracy. And all of those reforms are under assault right now. And there's very few ways that public officials have left. There's very few weapons in their arsenal that they have left to battle corporate power. And this actually is one of the most powerful ones. But you need a courageous public official who understands democracy and who understands the values of our country and that we're supposed to be an exemplary nation, a template for democracy to the rest of the world. We cannot afford ourselves to be overwhelmed by corporate power, particularly by corporations that have no boundaries on their conduct and that have deliberately adopted a criminal culture and have publicly stated that they cannot do business without breaking the law. and that have violated the law so consistently in every aspect of their business, literally tens of thousands of times over a five-year period. So, you know, at some point you have to say, what would, if Bo Biden is not going to revoke Massey's charter, what does a corporation need to do to get its charter revoked in this country anymore?
Can I ask you a question along those lines, sir? My name is John Missoni at WHYY-TV. Is there any precedent that you're aware of where Delaware has done such a such an action as revoking a charter?
Well, I don't know if Delaware has done it before. New York has on many occasions. In 1972, they revoked a charter, a corporate charter of a business college. Dennis Vacco in 1996, the Attorney General annulled the charter of the Tobacco Institute. There's another 1972 case where a water company had its charter revoked for providing substandard water. So, and there's many other examples. A 1994 case where again a business school had its charter revoked. There's in many other states this has happened, in Michigan, in Pennsylvania, in the state of Washington, and in California. All of them have revoked charters in the past. You know, Delaware classically has been viewed by the nation as a safe haven for corporations. But the Delaware Constitution has made it clear that the people of Delaware, in their own constitution, have sent a message, a very clear message, to their public officials that there has to be some boundaries on corporate power, even in this state, which traditionally has been very corporate friendly. And they require that boundary be put in the Constitution. So I would argue that under the language of the Constitution of the state of Delaware, that in light of the conduct of this corporation, that Attorney General Biden has not just a right, but a duty ultimately to revoke the charter of a company that's behaved this badly.
Yeah, that's correct. And in addition, Jeff Clements here with General Counsel for Free Speech for People. Delaware, in fact, has also joined the long list of states that Mr. Kennedy identified in revoking corporate charters. And at least one and perhaps two cases, the Chancery Court in Delaware has said, quote, continued serious criminal violations by corporate agents in the course of the discharge of their duties could well constitute the misuse of a charter, a sustained course of fraud, immorality, or violations of statutory law will lead to revocation of corporate charters. So those are Delaware cases and from 1958, 1954, and others where the corporate charters of corporations have been revoked. In Delaware.
Who's that,
well.
Who is this speaking, please?
This is Jeff Clements, Clements, General Counsel, Free Speech for People.
Okay, and you're pointing to case law here in Delaware.
That's identified in our letter to Attorney General Biden, which is available on a link in the press advisory and also on our resources page at freespeechforpeople.org.
Now, one obvious question here. Mr. Kennedy said this could, if Delaware doesn't do anything, this is Steve Hooks at Platts, by the way. Mr. Kennedy said if Delaware doesn't do anything, this could apply to other states where Massey does business or did business, whatever they decide. But my question, obviously Massey is chartered in the state of Delaware, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So that's your starting point then, obviously.
That's our starting point. And also there's other links, strong links between Delaware and Massey, which make this an appropriate action for Attorney General Biden to engage in.
Okay.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? If not, I want to thank Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Willa Coffey Mays, Jeff Clements, Florella Scarborough, Betty Hara, all for joining this call. As I said, we will be going to the Attorney General's office today to meet with them about this request to initiate charter revocation proceedings against Massey Energy. We'll be delivering our 35,000-plus signatures. Delaware Poshman Terrace, a longstanding peace and social justice organization here in Delaware, will be joining us and is joining this call. And we appreciate all of you joining us today. Thank you very much.